السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن من أزواجكم وأولادكم عدوا لكم فاحذروهم، وإن تعفوا وتصفحوا وتغفروا فإن الله غفور رحيم. إنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة والله عنده أجر عظيم. فاتقوا الله ما استطعتم واسمعوا وأطيعوا وأنفقوا خيرا لأنفسكم، ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, also our sisters listening at the madrasa and those listening over receivers. Last week, Monday night, we discussed these ayat of the Quran Sharif, which are the ayat of the surah At-Taghabun. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is His fazal and His ihsan and His kindness and favor that whatever was discussed, without exaggeration, I can tell you, so many people SMS'd or phoned or wrote, not only locally, even from those who are listening over the internet, that was for me. Somebody says it was for me. The other one says it was for me. So many of them experience these kind of problems. Recently, there is an explosion of such kind of problems, where parents are becoming frustrated, very, very angry, very much upset. They become devastated because of certain actions of their children, or of their wives, or the wives of their husbands. Sometimes it is the wife who is having a problem with the husband, and sometimes it is the husband that is having a problem with the wife. Sometimes it is the children that are at fault, sometimes it is the parents that are at fault, sometimes it is the wives that are at fault. Different people are at fault, that is a different issue. Therefore I mentioned that if we have to look at Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, no one can say that there was any kind of weakness in his presentation of Islam to his father. Can there be any weakness of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? Can we say Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, na'uzubillah, he did not have great wisdom in presenting Islam to his father, so therefore that father did not accept Islam. Look at the beautiful words in which he presented Islam to his father, which we have discussed in some majlis, where he virtually begs his father, Ya Abati, Ya Abati, Ya Abati. I'm not going in that direction now. So there was no weakness there. In the same way, Hazrat Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, his wife, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, his son, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, can anyone even have a slight thought coming into his mind, na'uzubillah, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was some weakness in his presentation of Islam to the kuffar and the mushrikeen, some of them who were related to him, Abu Lahab and others. But yet they didn't accept Islam. They left no stone unturned in causing difficulties, hardship and problems for him. So it is not always a question of azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala or a punishment of Allah ta'ala. If somebody's son or somebody's wife or somebody's husband has to become very difficult, has to become someone that is causing great amount of anguish, restlessness, problems, hardships, or the son is gone on to drinks and drugs and vices and evil, or the daughter has gone out of the house, she has run away with somebody, she has eloped with somebody who is not even a Muslim. Now the parents get devastated. After that, even if these children sometimes say, we are sorry, we made a mistake in our life, they say, get out of the house, we don't want to see you anymore. So therefore we were discussing something that seemed to be relevant to many people. So in these ayat, just to recap it very, very briefly, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He very beautifully intercedes on behalf of those people who had made some mistake. As we discussed that originally it was those people who remained behind in Makkah Mukarramah, whereas they should have been making hijrat to Madinah Sharif. They had accepted Islam after Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had already left for Madinah Sharif. So they were supposed to follow. As soon as they accept Islam, they must follow. But because of their wives, because of their children, the muhabbat and the love for them, they somehow were delayed. They could not join Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in Madinah Tayyiba early. Now when they went and joined Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it was a bit late. They found that those people who had already left Makkah Mukarramah, they had gone far ahead. So they became very disappointed and became very angry, and then they made up their minds that now we are going to take a very harsh and hard line against our wives and our children. And as I discussed last week, that it is also referring to spouses, because azwaj is the plural of zawj, and it is used for spouses. So it can be the other way around also. Somebody's wife was a problem and somebody's husband was a problem. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, well, now if they are apologizing, they're saying we're sorry, or then don't be too hard and too difficult on them. Don't throw them out of your houses. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself is saying, وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَهُ وَتَغْفِرُوا. If you have to pardon those people, those children if you have to pardon them, those wives if you have to pardon them, those husbands if you have to forgive them and pardon them, وَتَصْفَهُ, and overlook those weaknesses, those shortcomings, those problems that you experienced with them. So now overlook that. As they say in Urdu, dar guzar karo. Wa taghfiru. Although we translate that as forgive them, but it also means to cover up. To cover up their faults, their weaknesses, their shortcomings. That means don't now go and start exposing their weaknesses and faults. My wife is like this, my wife is like that, or my wife was like this and like that. Or the wife goes around blowing her trumpet, my husband was like this, was like that, was like that. You might have been. But now that he's apologizing, he's saying, I'm sorry, so accept it. In the same way, if those children are apologizing, then accept it. Overlook and now cover their faults. Allah Ta'ala himself is saying that don't be too hard and too harsh and too difficult upon them. And as I explained last week, that this is where it is very, very relevant to our times when children are gone on to drinks or drugs or other vices and evils. Then the parents say, throw them out of the house. So when you're going to throw them out of the house, they're going to end up on the streets. They're going to end up on the beachfront there. Then they will get hooked on drugs. And then somebody will get arrested. They'll end in jail, or somebody will end up in escort agency, or somebody will end up in some other prostitute quarters. So therefore we should use our aqal. Allah Ta'ala has given us intelligence and Allah Ta'ala has given us a willpower. There is no question of I lose myself completely. I just can't control my anger. There is no such thing. Because that anger is always on someone that is weaker than ourselves. Anger is always on someone that's weaker than ourselves. Why is it that when somebody is more powerful and more strong, or that person has got a gun in his hand, and we are without any ammunition and any kind of gun or anything else, and we are extremely weak also physically, then why don't we that time say we're getting very, very angry on you, and therefore we're going to fight you? So Allah Ta'ala must look at the rewards that He gives on the suppression of this anger. But shaitan won't allow us to think of that at that time. The rewards that that the person who is on haq, he is right, but he still forgoes his right just to avoid argument, to avoid dispute, and to avoid going to court and fighting and everything else. The person forgoes his right, although he is on haq. Allah Ta'ala will give him a palace in the middle of Jannah. Now when the person thinks of that, then he will try to achieve that. Or in the same way, if the person thinks that where will this anger lead to, what does it lead to? Does anybody like a person who is all the time angry? So Allah Ta'ala is pleading, وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَهُ وَتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala Himself is Ghafoorur Rahim. That means if you are going to now forgive, you're going to overlook, you are going to conceal the other person's faults. Now Allah Ta'ala, He could have said, now expose the person's fault, go advertise it in the newspapers and announce it over the radio stations. But Allah Ta'ala is saying conceal. So if we are going to do that, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is also Ghafoorur Rahim. And we are in need of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's maghfirat. We are in need of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's mercy. Is there anyone who can say that I am not in need of Allah Ta'ala's maghfirat and mercy? That I am so pious, so righteous, and my taqwa level is so high that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has to forgive me. There is no question of not being forgiven. Can anyone say that? In fact, the higher that the person goes, the more he realizes how useless and worthless he is. If a person is traveling in an aeroplane which is 30,000 feet above sea level, and if he has to look down from the window there, if he has to look down, but only thing, don't open the window and look down. When you're in the aeroplane, don't open the window and then look down. Just look down through the window. One young child was traveling for the first time going on the aeroplane. So just lightheartedly, the mother said, look, when you're on the aeroplane, make sure you don't open the window and look outside, as you do from the car, always open the window. So this child, when he went up, realized you can't open the window. So in any case, when you are going to look from the top there, then you will feel I'm extremely high. Look how high I am flying. 30,000 feet above sea level. But if that person has to look up, then you'll see there's somebody 60,000 feet above it, somebody 100,000 feet above, and somebody has landed on the moon. So always look at the azmat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the greatness and the glory of Allah Ta'ala. So then no pride will come into the heart. Attribute whatever achievement we have to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's fazal and kindness and ihsan. It is no kamal of ours, it's no greatness of ours and no perfection of ours. Allah Ta'ala is the one who blessed us with those skills. Who else blessed us with those skills? Does anybody come from his mother's stomach with all those skills? Have we ever heard that the child was born and straight away he did some engineering? The only engineering he does is wets his napkins. That's the only engineering he knows. So nobody comes from the mother's stomach and starts doing surgery and engineering and we say, well, this child that's born, we're going to put him in the Darul Ifta. And he seems to be a great mufti of the time. All come absolutely useless. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing to be talked about. هَلْ أَتَىٰ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the one who nurtures them. And then blesses the child with youth and then gives the person knowledge and the skills that the person learns. Everything is a gift of Allah Ta'ala. And we are in need of Him every moment of our life. Therefore, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is addressing us, is addressing His servants and His slaves. And He's pleading on behalf of those people who have made these mistakes and errors. Allah Ta'ala is overlook, forgive, conceal. Because you also need my forgiveness. You also need my mercy. So if you want my mercy and my forgiveness, then learn to forgive also. We discussed this to some extent last week. إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Your wealth. And of course, there when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala was talking about that, O ye believers, from your wives and your children there are some enemies, or some amongst them are your enemies. So be wary, be careful, be cautious. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions some, and that we discussed, that it's not all children that are bad, it's not all wives that are bad, it's not all husbands that are bad. Some are excellent, some are great, great awliya, but they also suffer some kind of test in their life, that some child becomes a pain in the neck, or sometimes it's the wife, or sometimes it's the husband. But all those difficulties that they endure and they make sabr over, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala increases their rank and status. Mirza Janajan Rahmatullah Ali was an extremely sensitive person. But when it came to his wife, he tolerated so much, so much. And when somebody got very angry and on that wife, how can she treat the husband like that? He's such a great waliullah. So he said that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala blessed me with whatever I have because of this wife of mine, tolerating it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. But one thing also we have to understand. Many a times a woman is going through a lot of difficulty, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. And the only thing that we know is we tell her sabar, sabar, sabar. Until she gets a nervous breakdown and she goes to the qabristan, we will keep telling her make sabar. That she must keep on making sabr until her dying day or until she goes to the qabristan. Na maraz rahe, na mariz rahe. There was somebody that had a stomach problem. So the Hakim Sahab, the only thing that he knew was that must give something to clean the stomach. So he gave him something. This person kept on going to the toilet. Then he said, Hakim Sahab, is getting worse. So he gave another dose. So that increased it. He gave another dose. He said, still not coming right. So he kept on increasing until the patient died. So he said, Hakim Sahab, the patient has died. He said, well, you see, I told you that this is the cure, what I gave. That now there's no sickness left also. So if you have an unnadi Hakim like that, he said, now there's no sickness left. That was the cure. So some amongst the wives, some amongst the children, otherwise they're excellent children and excellent wives and excellent husbands. So Allah Ta'ala says, I was saying that we keep on saying that woman sabar, sabar, sabar until dying day. Now that is not Islam, that is not Sharia, that is not Quran and Sunnah. We say, no, the arsh of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala shakes when a person gives talaq. Therefore I don't want to give talaq to my wife. So the arsh of Allah Ta'ala only shakes when you give talaq, and all the injustices that the person does, that time the arsh of Allah Ta'ala doesn't shake. All the injustices that are being done, and say, no, she must make sabr. And sometimes the other way around. So at such a time, Shariat will say, well, try and bring about a reconciliation, and if everything, all procedures are followed and it doesn't work, then give one talaq and separate. So here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Your wealth and your children are a test. Fitna means a test. So many people, in the love of the children, or the love of the wives in the love of the husband, they have engaged in so many different kinds of sins. So many different kinds of sins. The husbands also will go out of their way, they say, no, for the pleasure of my wife. I must make sure that whatever she wants and demands, I must provide for her. So now you'll go and borrow on interest, or you will steal, or you will go to the casino and try his luck there, or you will do anything somehow to provide for those luxuries and for those fantasies and for all those other demands of the wife or the children. Sometimes the children are demanding, we want to go to a certain haram establishment. And the parents say, well, look, what are we going to do? Rather give them some money and let them go. Or give it to the wives, let them go. So for the sake of the wives or for the sake of the children, or in the love of the husbands, many a person, he destroys his akhirat. Now that is stupidity, that the person for his worldly, for the worldly pleasure of someone else, he is destroying his akhirat. That is stupidity. Akhirat, where the person will have no money the person will have no one to help and assist him. And where the fire of Jahannam is going to burn the person because of his sins. Now this person, for the sake of the worldly pleasures of somebody else, he is preparing himself for destruction in the Akhirah. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that your wives, your children, they are all tests. Your wealth, your children, they are all tests. Amwalukum wa auladukum, your wealth and your children, they are tests. That Allah Ta'ala wants to test that in their love do you remain obedient to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or in the love of this wealth and in the love of children you become totally disobedient. You reject Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The person becomes disobedient. He wants to enjoy the wealth and he wants to enjoy all the haram. So, innama amwalukum wa auladukum fitnah, wallahu indahu ajrun azim. Great, great rewards by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for those people who are obedient to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in their wealth, in their children, in their homes, in their lives, in their businesses, wherever it is. Those people who are obedient to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then there is great, great rewards. Ajrun Azim. By Allah, great rewards. And then Allah Ta'ala says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Now when that ayat of the Quran Sharif was revealed, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Fear Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, fulfilling the rights and the haq of that khawf and that fear of Allah. So the Sahaba Ikiram radiallahu anhu majma'in were not like us, that when they heard these ayat, it didn't really stir their hearts or cause any kind of concern. They realized that we cannot really do justice to that kind of taqwa, to that kind of khawf of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, although they had such kind of khawf and they had such kind of hope also. We must balance it. There must be fear also and there must be hope also. There must not only fear so much that we lose hope, and there must not hope so much that we lose fear. There must be a balance. Some people, they say, we don't want to hear about ayat of Jahannam and azab of qabr and all those things. We don't want to hear anything about that. Must just tell us about the mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And who says that? Those people who are engaging in sins day and night. They say, we just want to hear about the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Now, where the ayat and the verses of mercy, was it for those people who are engaging in sins day and night? Those ayat of mercy was for those people who realize that they have gone offbeat or derailed, or they are gone on the wrong line. They are ashamed, it's causing them a terrible pain in their hearts that why did we ever disobey our Almighty, Merciful, Forgiving Allah? He who is our Creator, He who has blessed us with our sight, our hearing, our speech. So now they are concerned that we committed so much of sins, what's going to happen? So Allah Ta'ala gives a lot of consolation. Don't worry, no matter how far you may have gone, all that is required is turn around. I am there to accept you. Everyone else in the world can reject you, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is ready to accept. His doors of Tawbah are open. Fulfill the rights of the Tawbah. So it was not to commit sins on the strength of the door of Tawbah being open. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when that ayat was revealed by Allah Ta'ala, then the Sahaba Ikram became very, very concerned that how are we going to fulfill the right of this khawf and fear. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ. That how much is in your power, how much is in your capacity, that much you must have khawf of Allah Ta'ala. Develop that much taqwa which is within your capacity. Now each and every one, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given a capacity, He has given him strength, He has given him willpower, He has given him courage, and we use that courage, we use that willpower, and we use that himmat that Allah Ta'ala has given for everything else. For going to the business, we use our willpower and the courage. To travel, we use it. And for all other works that we do, we use it. And the only thing we don't use it for is to restrain ourselves from haram. So Allah Ta'ala says that this fear and khawf, مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ, as much as you have strength, then have that kind of taqwa and that kind of hope. Wasma'u, and listen. Wa'ati'u, and obey. Wa'anfiqu khayran li'anfusikum, and spend. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, listen, obey, and spend. It is good for your souls. That will be good for our own souls. If we are going to obey, we are going to listen, and we are going to spend. Now this spending also Allah ta'ala included here, because in the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or in the fulfillment of the ahkam and laws of Allah ta'ala, when a person spends, then it increases his muhabbat. And it takes away what we term as greed and miserliness from the person's heart. There's a world of difference. One is if the government has to legislate so much tax for this and so much tax for that, and we're going to build houses for the poor and the needy, and we're going to distribute food, and we are going to give them clothing and shelter. So therefore compulsory tax, so much you must pay. Now that kind of tax upon tax, it doesn't create any kind of love in the heart of anyone for the government. Does anybody get very happy that I am being charged extra tax? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, besides the zakat, which is an ibadat in reality, throughout the Quran Sharif and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in so many different ahadith and sayings of his, he gives encouragement that if you are going to care for the poor, for the needy, for the destitute, for the orphans, for the widows, for those in need, you're going to provide water, you're going to provide food, you're going to provide shelter, you're going to dig wells, you're going to give medication, whatever, all these type of services that you are going to render, then the great, great rewards, look at the ahadith, look at the Quranic ayat. We are not really doing tafsir now in detail, but so many ayat, there's so much of encouragement for the people to spend out of that which Allah Ta'ala has given. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ, and so many other ayat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying, spend out of that which we have given to you. That means it's not yours, it's not ours that we work very hard and we accumulated it. Allah ta'ala says, he has given it, so now spend out of this. So the encouragement is given to spend in different causes, and the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in demonstrated it in their lives, that with that encouragement that was given, you gain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, you gain this, you gain that. And in Jannat, what Allah Ta'ala gives. And even in this world, how much of Barakat Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives. So these people went out of their way to spend in all the different causes, which will benefit to the society in general. They were not forced by the Islamic government that you must spend here, must spend there. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he encourages and he says, spend. وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, which in essence means that the person who is protected and safeguarded from miserliness of his soul, those people who are protected and safeguarded from miserliness, they are the ones whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says are the muflihun, that they will attain success, or they have attained success, or they are of the people that attain success, whichever extent you take it to. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has mentioned what falah, qad aflaha al-mu'minun. Now those ayat, if you're going to go in that direction, you won't be able to discuss this tonight. So this falah, I've explained, it is not only success as we know. There is no word in the English language which can put a correct description of falah. Because when you say to somebody who is a non-Muslim that this person is very successful in life, what does that mean to him? It means that this person, he worked hard, then he went to the college and he got some degree, some qualifications, and then he progressed and until he became president of the country, or he became the prime minister, or he became the king and ruler. Now that is success. And he's got a few palaces and he's got a few gold mines, then it is greater success. Now, that is not success in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That is mata, or things of this world which Allah Ta'ala has given to the believers also and is given to the disbelievers also. There is nothing very different. Allah Ta'ala does not use that as a criterion, which unfortunately we use, that the moment we see somebody that he's got a palace, he's got this, he's got that, even though he doesn't have kalima, he doesn't have namaz, roza, zakat, he has nothing in his life, but we say very successful person. And the other person may have very little with him of the worldly things, so we say he's very unsuccessful, and yet he must be working very honestly, very truthfully, working hard. He does not do anything that is displeasing to Allah Ta'ala, but we will say that this person is very unsuccessful. So falah means success in this world, success in the qabr, success in the akhirat. The person will cross pull sirat like lightning, enter into Jannat and get all the ni'mats and bounties of Jannat. That is success from beginning to end. So English language cannot have that kind of a word. Only we say success. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that these people who will listen, they will obey and they will spend and they are protected from miserliness, then they are the ones that we can term as people who have attained success, or they will be from those people who are successful. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is encouraging, because miserliness is one hadith sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. As-sakhiyu, reported by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, that as-sakhiyu qareebun min Allah. Sakhi, the person who is generous, is close to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Qareebun min al-jannah, close to Jannat, and qareebun min al-nas. And even the people, they like the person who is generous and kind, big-hearted, large-hearted. Ba'idun min al-nar, and is far away from the fire of Jahannam. This person's generosity, kindness, then he's far away from the fire of Jahannam. And the opposite of that, al-bakhil, the person who is miserly, then he is ba'idun min Allah, very far from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He is very far from Allah ta'ala, even though this person is making a lot of namaz, nafil namaz we're talking about, and keeping a lot of nafil rozas, and making a lot of nafil ibadat. So now in nafil roza and nafil ibadat, the person doesn't have to spend anything. But he's miserly. He doesn't spend in the right places. Generosity doesn't mean that you start spending the wealth in the wrong places and say, oh, he's a very generous person. Anybody comes for any kind of show, haram show also, and he makes big contribution towards that. Then we say, how generous he is. So that is not generosity. The way Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says we must spend, when the person spends in those places, then that is generosity. So the person who is miserly, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he is ba'idun min Allah, ba'idun min al-jannah, and is far away from Jannat also, and ba'idun min al-nas, and even from the people this person is distant and far. People also don't like a person who is miserly. And then it is mentioned in that same Hadith Sharif, it is in Tirmizi Sharif also. In the same Hadith Sharif again, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam mentioned, that a person who is ignorant, now ignorant here doesn't mean he doesn't know about namaz, roza, zakat, hajj and all the necessities. Meaning that he's not so learned, but he is generous and he is large-hearted, and he is better than the abid who is miserly. So therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala here, he encourages that spend. So, but we don't use that as a criterion that a person has got plenty of wealth, so he's great. Very close to Allah Ta'ala. Dushmano ko aishab o gil diya. Aur dosto ko apna dard e dil diya. Dushmano ko aishab o gil diya. Aur dosto ko apna dard e dil diya. Unko sahil pe bhi tughyani mili. Humko tufano mein bhi sahil mila. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he gives to his enemies toys as we call them. Cars, aeroplanes, jets, all these things are toys. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives to them ashabu kid, made out of water and earth. दोस्तों को अपना दर्द दिल दिया. But those who are the lovers of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, those who are the beloveds of Allah ta'ala, those who are close to Allah ta'ala, those who are the awliya, दोस्तों को अपना दर्द दिल दिया. दर्द दिल, दर्द दिल doesn't mean heart problems. It means the love of Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala only gives that to his friends. Unko sahil pe bhi tughyani mili. Those who are disobedient to Allah ta'ala, but they have been given plenty of wealth, big, big palaces and homes and beautiful cars and jets and everything else. Unko sahil pe bhi tughyani mili. Even on the shores, they found storms, restlessness, anxieties, worries, problems, no sukoon in the life. And those whom Allah Ta'ala blessed with dard-e-dil, His muhabbat, unko tufano mein bhi sahil diya. They are right in the midst of the ocean also, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave them shore. That means sukoon in their hearts. Even in the midst of difficulties and hardship and pain and suffering, they were blooming like how the flower blooms in the midst of thorns. So it is not how much the person has of wealth or doesn't have. He can be multi-millionaire and billionaire, and he can be a waliullah of the highest rank. And on the other hand, he can be extremely poor and he can be a great waliullah. And sometimes the person is very poor and he can be an enemy of Allah and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. It's not that if a person is poor, then he's definitely waliullah. So he can be poor and waliullah, he can be poor and enemy of Allah. He can be rich and waliullah, he can be rich and enemy of Allah and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala thereafter says, إِن تُقْرِضُوا اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا يُضَاعِفْهُ لَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. Now without going into any detailed discussion, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, if you have to give Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala a beautiful loan, a person is spending in charities and Allah ta'ala is saying that it is like a beautiful loan that the person has given to Allah ta'ala. That means if out of sincerity, if he has to give, then it is as if he has given a beautiful loan to Allah ta'ala. Now we are told in this world we must not accept any kind of interest on loans. If a person has to put his money in the bank, or if a person has to loan somebody some money, then we can't charge interest on that loan. We can't say that now you must pay 10%, 20%, 30%. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He says that if you give him a loan, he is the one who is giving it to us. And then look at how beautifully again he says, give me a loan. It's like that father or that mother who lovingly gives to the child a slab of chocolate and then pleads again to the child, give me a piece of chocolate. Now the child says, no, it's mine. Say, give me a small piece. No, it's mine. Those parents know that they have given that. And everyone knows that. But like that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala treats us like little children. Say, never mind. Even if you think that is all yours, so now I'm saying, give me a loan from there. What love in this ayat Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala issued. Allah ta'ala loves his servants. He really loves his creation. Allah ta'ala has not created us so that he send us to the fire of Jahannam. What love Allah ta'ala has, if you only understand the Quran. Look at all the ayat there of forgiveness and mercy and kindness. And so many places how Allah ta'ala is making tarbiyat, so that the person does not suffer in his business deal, he does not suffer in his home, he does not suffer with his wife and children. His home life becomes nice, peaceful and a happy one. The society becomes a nice, peaceful, happy society. Everyone enjoys the ni'mats and bounties. The person eats, drinks, everything in an atmosphere of sukoon. Allah Ta'ala wants like that. So is that not kindness of Allah Ta'ala? Look at the governments of the world and look at the people around the world. How many of them are just desirous that we must fight? They desire us that they must fight. Life must become full of restlessness, murders and killings, and has become abundant. All these people are manufacturing all these big, big bombs and missiles and everything else. What they desirous of sukoon for the creation. When they dispatch all these armies to go and bombard and to throw missiles and destroy, so are they desirous of sukoon or are they desirous that everybody must suffer? Look at the millions of people that become displaced. Millions of people, when we read sometime in the newspapers or when we have to read in the articles or when we have to listen over the news, and what kind of pain we experience. Then look at the people, old, sickly, weak, half dying from the hospital beds, from their homes. Now suddenly they are putting one small blanket on their heads or putting one small bundle on their heads, and they are trekking miles and miles, and where they are going, nobody knows. They don't know where the next bread will come from. They do not know where their next glass of water will come from. Or they do not know where they are going to sleep. And sometimes while trekking, then it rains and it pours and there's thunder and lightning. Allah! You think these people want some sukoon for the ummah or for the community at large? They want destruction, destruction, so that their business must progress. They are only interested in their industry. That's what they are interested in. All the war machinery, what they're selling. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want that. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants for the entire mankind a life of peace, happiness, contentment, satisfaction. Allah Ta'ala created all the heavens and the earth and everything in between for the sake of man. Allah Ta'ala is sending down the rains. Allah Ta'ala has put the gold and silver, uranium, platinum, iron and steel and everything in the earth. Allah Ta'ala has put for whom? For man. Then look at all the rubies and pearls and diamonds and what Allah Ta'ala sent. And then look at the skills that Allah Ta'ala gave so that the man may be able to make a nice home, live nicely, comfortably, and make use of the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala and bounties of Allah Ta'ala, and propagate the deen of Allah Ta'ala, invite towards good, prohibit from evil. So Allah Ta'ala wants that we must live a life of happiness and sukoon within our homes, outside our homes, in our businesses. All the ahkam and laws of Allah Ta'ala that we have to look at, I have mentioned many, many times that we will find that only those things are prohibited, only those things which are harmful to the individual self or to his family or to the society or nation. That's all. Allah Ta'ala only prohibits those things. All the other things which are good, which are wholesome, which are nice, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, why must he prohibit that? So it is our weakness and the society's weakness and the weakness of the nations at large that we are only desirous of destruction. And then we talk about international level always. But if we have to come down to our home level and we have to come down to our society level and we have to come down to our environment or to look into our lives, then how many times we find that some people are just desirous that there must be disunity, there must be friction, the husband and wife must separate, the children and parents must be disunited, friends must be disunited. They will do something to needle this side, that side, somehow to create the division. And then they want to watch the tamasha after that. When those people start fighting and arguing, then this person who was instrumental in creating that argument, or sometimes they even go to the Sangomas and they go to the money-making, Taweez makers, and they go to so many other people that do something to separate these people. Do something to create friction between these two friends, or the husband and wife, or the family. Now is that muhabbat? So that love that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has for his creation, you will never find him. But we must always remember that whosoever will do these type of things that create problem, division, disunite, friction and things of this nature, then he is digging a hole for himself. He will sooner or later face the consequences of his own children or own family or own people suffering the same fate. And one person, he says that, people come to me, he says, what must I do? They say that, must give something to break up, split up, divide, disunite. So I'm in business. He says, I'm in business. So they come to me, and they take one toklo shoe, take one toklo shoe, take one. They sell toklo shoes also. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand. So therefore, Allah ta'ala in His love for the creation, He wants to see happiness, unity, no friction, no disunity, no kind of evil. So therefore, He's pleading. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is, instead of pleading, we say is interceding on behalf of these people. Overlook, forgive, forget. So here Allah ta'ala says that in tuqridu Allah qardan hasanan, if you have to give Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala a beautiful loan, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will go on increasing that, or multiply that, or double that. You can extend the meaning. Wa yaghfir lakum, and He will forgive you. Now Allah ta'ala blessed the person with that wealth, He blessed him with that. And now from there when He is giving, now Allah ta'ala says He's going to multiply, He's going to double, He's going to keep on increasing. And He's even going to give you forgiveness on that. And Wallahu Shakurun Haleem, and Allah ta'ala is very, very appreciative. The person hardly does anything and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala rewards him so much of rewards that he cannot even imagine how loving Allah ta'ala is. That the person hardly does anything. What do we do with our namaz, roza, zakat, hajj and our ibadat and everything else? Can we say that we are really doing justice to it? But look at the rewards that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives. That many, many a times the person is not even deserving. But because he is kareem, he just goes on giving even to those people who are not deserving. And haleem, Allah ta'ala is so tolerant, so tolerant. Allah ta'ala is so tolerant that He is even tolerating kufr, is tolerating shirk. People who are rejecting Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala day and night, they are swearing Allah ta'ala. They say, we are atheists, we don't believe in Allah ta'ala. Still He is giving them sight and hearing and speech and heart and liver and lungs and giving them business and giving them homes and giving them cars and aeroplanes and jets and everything else. So He who is even giving to those who are rejecting Him, you think He is not going to give to those who believe in Him and are obedient to Him? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is very tolerant. Also means that we must not take it for granted that if a person who is engaging in sins day and night, he is disobedient to Allah ta'ala. The person is disobedient to Allah ta'ala and is engaging in all kinds of vices and evils, committing open sins, violating the laws of Sharia and the ahkam of the Quran Sharif. So we must not think that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has become very pleased with him if he is still giving him plentiful of the worldly namat. Then that is a rope that Allah ta'ala is giving. He is giving the person an opportunity to make tawbah, repent and turn, return to Allah ta'ala. The person does not know when it can be seized and when it can be destroyed and when Allah ta'ala's azab can come. So Allah ta'ala's tolerance is extreme. There's nobody who can have more tolerance than Allah ta'ala. In spite of all our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our sins and our faults and our vices and our evils, Allah ta'ala is still giving us so much of food to eat and drink and so much to drink and clothes to wear and shelter above our heads and our sight and our hearing and our speech and everything else. So he's very, very tolerant. But they say that we must be very much cautious. Don't test the tolerance. Any case, Alimul Ghayb wa Shahada, Al Aziz Al Hakim. Alimul Ghayb wa Shahada. Allah Ta'ala knows whatever is apparent and whatever is hidden. That means everything that a person is doing, It is before Allah. We can conceal our sins and our faults from human beings. People are concealing from their parents. They're concealing from their wives. So many people are womanizing, but they're concealing from their wives. And so many wives are doing so much of haram, but they're concealing from their husband. So many children are engaged in so much kind of haram, but they're concealing from their parents. So in this world, we can conceal, we can hide our faults and our sins and our weaknesses from our neighbors, from our society. Jo karta hai to chup ke ahle jahan se koi dekhta hai tujhe aasman. But when you are going to hide and commit sin, somebody is watching you from above. We can't hide. There is no question of hiding. How long are we going to pretend to be pious? Most of us have got dual lives. One for the public and a different life in our privacy. In our privacy, we are the friends of Shaitan. And in our public life, we pretend to be the friends of Rahman. In our public life, we pretend to be the friends of Rahman, of Allah Ta'ala. And in our private life, we are the friends of Shaitan. But this pretense cannot last long. It's like a snake that goes into the water of the ocean and pretends to be fish. Will it last long there? So the snake goes into the water and says, I'm also fish. Because I can wriggle too. After a little while, the water will throw it out. So let us not remain in the same square one all the time. Remember that Allah Ta'ala is watching. And a day is going to come when we are going to leave this world. Now we have a janaza just now after this majlis. Another person lived a long life. He accepted Islam and for many, many years he was a Muslim. Recently he was in the old age home and tonight he passed away. So whether he died at 80 or 60 or 70, but death has to come over everyone. But he is fortunate that Alhamdulillah he died as a Muslim. Allah Ta'ala make his maghfirah give Jannatul Firdaus. So the day is going to come when we also have to leave this world. So Allah Ta'ala is alimul ghaib wa shahada. And he is exalted in might and he is very, very wise. So all these things are being discussed so that we develop the taqwa in our hearts. We cannot go on pretending. Let us bring about a change, a true change, a real change. What is the purpose? Outside we behave like real waliullah. And then as soon as we return to our home, the same TVs are on there, we're watching the same porn sites, we're watching the, listening to the same music. The cell phones have still got the same numbers on the, of illicit beloved. I'm not saying everybody, if we have to look into our lives, so much of weaknesses. And then we say we're not finding that sukoon, there's no happiness, there's no contentment. Husband and wife fighting, children and parents fighting, family members fighting, and everybody just fighting, fighting and fighting. And then the society fighting, the communities fighting, the nations fighting, and then international communities fighting. So the whole world is nothing but a place of fight, of wars, of destruction. And Allah Ta'ala wants to give a life of peace, happiness, contentment, sukoon. May Allah Ta'ala bless us all with the best of dunya and the best of akhir. I'm looking at this watch here and I think it's quarter past eight. It was announced at quarter past eight, so we'll just make a short dua and make a janaza namaz. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. اللهم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. Oh Allah, bless each and every one of us with the best of dunya and akhirah. Forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly, unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of night. Forgive us, our parents, our wives and children, brothers and sisters, family members, and ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. Bless mankind with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our brother who has passed away, bless him with Jannatul Firdaus. Everyone else who has passed away, may Allah forgive them. Fill the graves with Noor, bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. And when the time of our departure comes from this world, then my beloved Allah, take us to Madina Tayyiba. Bless us with Shahadat in Madina Tayyiba. If it is not destined there, wherever it may be, that it be in a state that you are pleased with us. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد واله واصحابه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.